CBA Mobile.
2BNG, how you been?
2BNG, KB4, CBA. How are you doing, Glenn?
Not bad. How about yourself?
Not too bad. I just finished playing some tennis and headed back to the house.
Tennis for you, isn't it? You're usually a bit later on the court, like 5 or 6 o'clock. It's only about noon.
Yeah, I'm trying to play the first 3 days of the week. I play twice a day, and so I play at 10:30 and 5:30 or 6. Like tonight, there's a clinic at 5:30, so I'm going to come back for that.
Up a day, a few days a week, even better. So, yeah, you must be in reasonably good shape. Take a walk earlier, I figured the heck with it. You know, me, I'm lucky to walk to the end of the road, to the upper end of the road, which is maybe a mile. Yeah, lucky if I can do that.
I got most of that. There's a little interference right here. I finally figured out what it was. Is it? I didn't even see it. I haven't noticed it, but it's a dang cell tower. It's got to be what it is. But it really messes with 6-1 for some reason. Just in that intersection back there at Haywood and Congaree.
I don't want to transmit on this power for too long.
It'd be fine now if you want to get back to a lower power. It was just bad back there.
Commercial rig. It only has 40 or 45 watts and 5 watts. There's not a lot of in-between settings. And if you start using this on 40 watts, it actually starts to get pretty hot.
I've got an ICOM, I think it's a 2300, it's a just 2 meter mobile rig, and I think it's 65 watts, and if you use it on high power for any period of time, it'll get pretty warm back there. It's got heat sinks, but, for that purpose, but I think I'm going to put a fan on it and just to keep it a little cooler.
You have heat sinks, and a lot of times there's a fan inside the heat sink or right next to it. You might try a computer fan, like one of the larger fans for, to cool your computer case. Put that right under the heat sink. Or if there's a depression in the heat sink, put it in the heat sink. And I guess hook that up to the same 12 volts as the rest of the radio. Now, if that runs continuously, it's going to be noisy, is the only thing. I did that with this radio one time. And it was kind of a bit on the noisy side, though.
I've got several fans, different size fans out of computers, old PCs, and I've got a regulator too, so I can control the speed of the fan, so that way it won't be real noisy, because I don't want a lot of noise. But I haven't even hooked the stupid thing up yet. I've got to figure out how to hook the regulator up and all that. So it'd be kind of interesting.
As I said, I was using this yesterday. I had a QSO going for about an hour on the high power setting. And let's just say it was, the top of the case was too warm to touch. Now, commercial radios aren't designed for long periods of transmit. On the other hand, the components generally are pretty tough. Commercial radio transmissions are like, a couple of seconds. It wasn't designed to be keyed down for 2 minutes at a time. You know, but there again, I imagine they got a pretty tough finals, you know, pretty tolerant.
Talking on, is it a Motorola?
It's a Chef rig made by Midland. I've actually got two identical ones. I got a VHF and a UHF one. The UHF one came out of the taxi cab when I stopped running the taxi cab business. Not a lot on 70 centimeters down here. Now, the VHF one I found on eBay someplace. And it's supposed to be the 8-channel model, and I actually got 128 channels programmed into it. There's a, Midland, these particular radios, if you edit, you can edit the code plug and write it back to the 8-channel radio, or the 32-channel radio, and it magically has 128 channels. So the difference between the 8-channel, 32-channel, 128-channel version is basically nothing.
Modifications for all the radios, just about. I remember I had a Yaesu HT, and all you had to do was go in there and you had to know which one, but you just had to suck a piece of solder off the circuit board, and it extended the receive range, you know, out of the band above and below the 2-meter band. And so I just did it myself. They wanted like $75 at the ham fest to do it, and I just went home and did it myself.
So these radios, this isn't even hardware. And what I figured out to do is open the code plug file in a hex editor. Open the code plug for the 128 channel radio. The programming software comes with 6 what I call blank code plugs. So open the one for the 128 channel radio, about 20 bytes from the beginning. Change that model number to the model number of the radio you want to put it into, and then just write it to the radio, and gee, it magically has 128 channels. That's a very Motorola thing to do. Motorola used to do that with all their radios. The only difference, you know, usually the only difference between the basic model and the advanced model was, different firmware. So it was all what I guess I would call, you would call soft engineering. It was all, you know, change, swap out the software, and you've got all these extra features. Yeah, Motorola was notorious for that. Exactly the same hardware, just, you know, add code or whatever, or change the variables inside.
I'm kind of in a bad spot right now. Again, I don't know if I'm making a repeater or not.
Repeater, I might not be, I was just saying, Motorola was notorious for that sort of thing. Exactly the same radio hardware, just, it's all software. Load different firmware, and all of a sudden you got all these new features. Because Motorola would sell fleets of radios, you know, they might spend $1 million selling the system to some department of whatever, and then another couple of $100,000 to upgrade it. So, I don't know what, you know, I guess nowadays Motorola is what? I don't even know what they do anymore.
Either. I've never owned one, but I mean, I know they make, or at least they used to make a good product, and, rugged and all that. I always thought they were kind of in a league all their own. You kind of had to know, the special things about them compared to some of the other radios, and I guess that's one reason I never got into buying a Motorola.
Funny. They'll have one particular model which literally has a dozen different variations. You know, maybe a non-standard frequency range or non-standard splits or things like that. And, you know, sometimes you can change those parameters, sometimes you can't. You know, it's kind of like know what you're buying, or you'll end up with some radio for some useless band you can't do very much with. Also, the programming software for the older radios isn't all that easy to come by. You sort of almost have to know someone who has it.
Oh, what else have you got planned for today?
I don't really know. I've been out of it. Today is Monday, right? Because I don't know what the heck happened on Sunday. I think on and off, I slept through most of the day yesterday. I'm not sure what's been wrong with me, and there's something been wrong with me probably for the past couple of months. I almost think it's COVID-related, but I've never had COVID.
Your symptoms?
Extreme weakness, extreme fatigue. You know, can't get out of bed, or I'll get out of bed and immediately want to go back to sleep. You know, excessive sleep. I don't know if my appetite is that much affected or not, but, you know, just feel like part of the circuit is shorted to ground. The energy just isn't there.
Well, you know, you might want to go see a doctor. I don't know. Yeah, it could be a lot of things. It could be COVID, yeah, it could be depression, it could be sleep apnea, yeah, all those fit that category you just described. So anyway, but I'd say if it continues, I'd go see a doctor.
Yeah, it probably is depression. No doubt that's most of what it is. Antidepressants don't really do much for it, or maybe I just don't have the right ones. I still have stuff that Deborah had. When she passed, her parents sent me this big box with every single medicine that she had. And I know there was antidepressants in there, so maybe it's just the wrong kind of antidepressants. Maybe I gotta get something else.
KP4CBA. I wouldn't take anything that's prescribed for somebody else. I mean, you just don't know. And it may be expired. Oh me. And with you know, with GoodRx, prescriptions are pretty cheap these days. I never thought I'd go to grocery store to buy my prescriptions, but I do now.
Even has a pharmacy now. September 15, I guess that's too far in the past. Yeah, some of them might be expired. They, you know, it's not like they expire and suddenly they turn into back into a pumpkin. You know, what I guess happens is they lose potency over time. Yeah, I guess, you know, I don't really, you know, if I got to spend a lot of money for prescriptions, well, you know, if I got to spend a lot of money for prescriptions, I'll do what I did before. I had this one very expensive asthma drug that I filled out of, you go to Canada Pharmacy, Canadian Pharmacy, they fill it for the price. Yeah, here's what's wrong with the American prescription system. It was Advair in the inhaler. $400 for pretty much any drugs, or $390, let's say. $380 to $400 from anyone around here that I looked for. And $70 from Canada Pharmacy. Now, it was actually not Advair. It was, you know, generic something similar. Because there is no generic for Advair, but there is at least not in the U.S. But, yeah, it's at the point where you can end up doing that.
Yeah, I've never bought drugs outside of the country, so I don't know much about that. I just, thank goodness I don't have anything that's outrageously expensive, so I'm grateful for that, because I take several different kinds of drugs. But anyway, just had my 50th high school reunion this past weekend, so I'm feeling old today. I don't feel old. It's kind of a mental thing. It's just working on me. I don't know. But anyway, well, I'm pulling in the driveway here, Glenn, so I'm going to say adios, and you have yourself a good rest of the day after you get to feeling better. And I'll clear out of here after your final KB4 CPA.
All right, KB4 CBA, KD2 BG. All right, you have a good rest of the day, and we'll talk to you later. KD2 BG, I'll be clear.